FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on North Manchester 106.6 FM. I'm your host, Cockers, and later in the show we'll be bringing you highlights from Saturday's match against promotion-chasing Warrington Rylands. But before that, it's to last Tuesday night at Broadhurst Park as FC United return to Phoenix Trophy action as the Reds hosted French side Vinsky in Group C. And before kick-off, Ben caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds.
European football tonight here on North Manchester 106.6 FM, and joining me for a little pre-match chat ahead of this evening's game against Vinsky of France, it's a welcome back to Mr. Neil Reynolds. Hello Neil, welcome.
Hey Ben, all good.
Obviously, just before we talk about tonight's game in particular, just a bit of a catch-up, because obviously we were expecting to make that trip up to the North Yorkshire coast on Saturday. I don't think anyone was under any illusions on Friday night. No. It was going to be off. But still, I mean, how have we filled that gap?
Well, I spoke to Nathan on Friday night, the manager at Whitby, and he basically said, Renault, 100% the game's off. He said, I know we can't put it out till tomorrow, so if you need to book your 3G, book your Saturdays in, then do it now. So we planned Saturday. I went to Altrincham to watch Regan Linney, but also we've been given a little bit of intel about a player that may be coming out of Rochdale. So I went to go and watch them. That's at the end of the season. Brian Richardson took Rylands in. Mike Faulkner took the Clitheroe game in. So we kind of travelled everywhere doing our work that we do. The lads were given a programme to do. We're given a Saturday off because they haven't had you know, many Saturdays off. But it was a nice treat for them. But I think on the back of Tuesday, you know, good training session Thursday. You know, good weekend was entitled to by the players. And although they looked after themselves, they put the training programme on the WhatsApp group. You know, sometimes it is just nice to reflect on what a good performance the Radcliffe game was. And then you go into a new week, which is going to be huge for the football club with the game tonight and then the game against Warrington Rylands Saturday.
Yeah, and with regards to the Rylands game, that is a significant game. I mean, how do you prepare for this game? Because in the past, you played a strong team and then thrown some younger players in. You've done it the other way around on occasion. So how do you go about tonight's game?
We've been desperate for some consistency across the season. And I think in the last month, barring the Matlock game, I think we've seen some really good performances. So we're going to continue with our back three tonight. Right. The only rest that we're making is Lafferty drops to the bench and Munro will go alongside Jan Palinkas and Charlie Oliver, who captain the side. Left wing back, we're going to play Trevon and give Guy a rest. But right wing back stays as Deck. Griff keeps his shirt. And then in front of that, we've gone with like a forward four. We've got a debutant tonight. So we've got Aaron Bennett who'll play 10. The lad next to him, Keelan Swales,
right,
who we've signed from Alfreton, has trained with us for the last 3 weeks now. Will make his debut, and obviously all the paperwork's gone through. He's been playing a little bit of football lower down, but he's been registered with Alfreton, and he's a good player. And then down the middle, we're going to go Max, Lee Jordan Buckley out, and Lewis Gilboy. So we're going with a really attacking side. But for me, the emphasis on tonight's result, but it's more of the emphasis on kind of the squad beginning to settle down now and get, I'm saying, key players back. Ben, we've just been rocked with the news that Charlie Ennis could be out, maybe for the season. You know, we don't know. He's jarred, he's back. It could be a slip disc, we're not sure. But then Curtis Jones isn't far away. You know, Curtis isn't far away. Dante, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Hey, Jay Fitz, we're still keeping in, you know, in talks with Jay Fitz. Donners, it looks like he's done for the season. So I'm not saying we've got big injuries, but we've also got some players that have now regain the form, like Luke Griffiths, Jan Palinkas coming back in, Bennett. So, you know, we want to build on that continuity and hopefully just keep the lads playing together. But we've shown, Ben, we've got a good side, even with our crippling injury list. Yep. We've got a good side. Tonight isn't a given, but it's an opportunity for us to just keep playing our football and hopefully get some goals.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, last week we were talking about how good that performance was against Radcliffe. And as we said, missing off this list of players, Jones, Gabbidon, Donoghue, and they're all starters.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky job for you, isn't it, obviously? But
I've said, you know, and listeners, you know, please take this on board. You know, I talked to Bernard and Jono last week, and they've been so lucky this season that they haven't had many injuries. You know, they've gone with that 20-man squad, and the likes of, you know, Rick Smith and Ollie Thornley and Duxbury have been able to go, and Jordan Hume, and all the key players have been able to go week in, week out. We've just had one of them seasons, Ben, that anything that we've done, it seems to end up in an injury. And it's not training. Sometimes you're just unlucky, and we haven't been able to have that depth in our squad, and we know why. With somebody like Radcliffe, have got that depth in their squad. But listen, we've shown that when we've got a side on paper that can compete. We can compete with anybody in the league. The acid test in this league is, can you keep the consistency over the course of a season? And I'm hell bent on saying it. If we would have had them players available that have been out most of the season, then we wouldn't be where we are. But we are. But for us, Ben, we're getting them players back. We're signing some good players, you know, and the lads that started the season are developing to really good footballers like Kai Hall and Dent McLaughlin and Charlie Olivers and so on. So, you know, we're happy, but we've got a big competition night ahead of us. We want to get to the finals.
Yeah, and that's just to focus on this game. Then, obviously, we won in Krakow. Vince Guy won in Krakow as well. So it's kind of like a shootout up at the top of the table of the group. This one tonight.
I've watched two games. Adrian sent me two games to watch, and they look quick. They look pacey. They're unbeaten in the league. I know that maybe a couple of tiers below us, but again, we went off to Krakow, and that day I remember Jay Fitzmartin. You know, he couldn't score. We must have had five or six chances, and we couldn't score. And then they got back into the game, and then you're trying to find a way out. So European football, anything could happen. You know, but we're at Broadhurst Park. We're under the lights. We'll have our fans in. And like I said, we're desperate to get to the final. We're desperate to win the competition. It felt awful last year not winning it. So, you know, there's no point entering a competition if you're not going to try and win it. You know, we're going to try and win it.
Villa on the ball. Plays it to the right back, Rufero, who plays it forward, but straight to Luke Griffiths, who in turn plays it forward to Bennett. Bennett looking out to the right-hand side for the runner, McLaughlin. Right-hand side of the box. Cross shot on the near post there. And Engelu down to his left-hand side on his near post, puts the ball out for a corner. But the first chance there, Paul, goes the way of FC United.
Yeah, it was a stinging shot near post, and it was a good test for the keeper to see whether he's what he's made of, and he passed the first test.
Loose pass picked up there by Swales, who in turn plays it to Gilboy, and FC United coming forward here in a wave of three, and Gilboy keeps hold of the ball and drives it just past the post. But not on the goal side, unfortunately. Just wide, but a good opportunity there for FC United. And again, Gilboy showing his threat. Munro on the ball, tries to feed that ball through, but it's defended once again by Vinsky, who are defending well tonight thus far. And through ball attempted by Vinsky, but picked up by Oliver. And Oliver now can bring the ball forward. He's got Swales on the left, Woodcock through the middle, and the ball is played through to Woodcock. Goalkeeper's out. Goalkeeper nearly brings Woodcock down. Woodcock keeps going. And, he looped the ball towards the near post area. It was a mixture of side netting on the post. Woodcock unlucky there. Munro to Gilboy. Gilboy out to the right-hand side to McLaughlin. McLaughlin first time ball down the right-hand side. Bennett is onside. Bennett crosses the ball in first time. There's Woodcock. Oh, he misses it. But it's straight to Griffiths on the back of the penalty area. He goes to the near post. Palm wide. Who's getting on the deflection? It certainly isn't Woodcock. He's stumbling all the way. And eventually it's cleared by Vinsky, and that's FC United really should have put a goal in there, Paul.
Well, it looked like a very casual goal attempt from Griffiths at the far post, but it almost created an assist.
Here's Munro. Munro chips the ball out to the right-hand side. McLaughlin's onside, right-hand side of the penalty area, drills it along the six-yard line, and there is Woodcock on the near post. But once again, Engelu keeps the ball out. Griffiths there gets a foot on it. That clearance from the goalkeeper, and then heads the second ball forward. Bennett turns and lays that ball off to Gilboy, who's into the penalty area, goes for a goal, and once again Engelu is there on his near post to palm that ball wide. Now, Paul,
that was a very good save, I thought.
It was a very good save, but should he be going across the goal rather than at that near post? Because Engelu looks like he's got that covered.
Yeah, well, we keep trying him at near post, and I think he's got that angle covered very well.
Griffiths and Munro, well, can ball that by Munro. Play continues. Munro now making his way into midfield, but can't keep hold of the ball. Vinsky now with possession. Good skill from Villa. Villa moves in field, but Swales puts a challenge in, as does Gilboy, but Villa gets it back, and now here comes an attack. And it's going to be Aberhoon with the effort. It breaks, and a shot comes in from distance, and there, with their first real attempt on goal, was Yazin Baraya. And what a finish, Paul. 40 minutes played, and Vinsky have taken the lead and stunned Broadhurst Park.
Well, that was a piece of superb technique, I thought. When the ball broke to him, he didn't take a touch. He just guided it into the far corner. Murray Jones was helpless. It was a terrific finish.
Corner ball over on the far side for FC United. Griffiths to take on his right foot. Swings the ball in. It's a good ball in, and there's Woodcock to head it on the near post. And FC United get themselves an equaliser. 1-1, 55 minutes played.
Well, at last. And it's kicked off in the penalty area.
Yep, a right to do. Plenty of pushing and shoving going on from both sets of players. Griffiths being pushed away. But the scuffle is still going on. It's like a rugby scrum at the moment. It's still going on, and the assistant and the assistant referee trying to judge what's going on. But when this all dies down, we have got a goal back, Paul, 1-0.
Yeah, it's one apiece. Woodcock at last, I think probably at the fifth or sixth attempt tonight, has scored. But another difficult series of decisions for the officials now. What did they see? What do they think is punishable? Red card for Diop.
Diop is off. We obviously don't know what happened, but that is a red card for Diop. Well, Diop's gone off. He's not happy.
It looks like Palinkas has been sent off.
Jan Palinkas off. Well, we often say here on SC Radio, Jan Palinkas has never received a booking. That's still true, but he has been sent off, it looks like, Paul.
Yeah, 10 aside.
Munro down the channel there for the run of Jammy. Jammy can cross this ball in towards the near post. Buckley's there and picking up the possession is Oliver. Inside the penalty, goes down under a heavy challenge and a messy challenge from Vince Guy. The referee points to the spot and SC United have got themselves a penalty.
It was, and it was unnecessary, really. He had his back to goal. He wasn't going anywhere and he just barged him over.
Luke Griffiths in front of the SMRE. Referee blows his whistle. Griffiths takes some strides back. Moves to his left-hand side. Now lining up on his right foot. Begins his run-up. Griffiths goes for goal. Saved by the goalkeeper. He guessed the right way. And not only did he guess the right way, Luke Griffiths hit that ball quite hard. And Engelu kept hold of it. It was a great save.
I think I'm right in saying that's the first penalty he's missed.
And I think Engelu's there cemented his man of the match performance tonight, I have to say. That was fantastic goalkeeping. Here's Munro. And Bennett. Bennett chips the ball forward and Buckley's onside. Buckley goes for the lob. Oh, oh. Over the bar. Just. But it's going to be a free kick to FC United. It's a couple of yards in from the byline. Bennett is over it on the right-hand side. Crosses the ball in towards the back post. Header one by Charlie Oliver. And on 85 minutes, FC United have gone from a goal down to 2-1 up.
It was a pinpoint free kick. And for the first time in a while, the FC got a free header in the box. And that time, unlike the penalty, it beat the keeper.
Griffiths, on his right foot, swings the ball in. Header one, and that is 3-1. And once again, Charlie Oliver with the goal towards the near post. He got his head on it. And it was a good header again from the captain. Griffiths to Munro. Munro over the halfway line. Oliver. Back to Munro. Munro. Oh, Munro driving forward here towards the penalty area. Opens up for Munro. And that is a fantastic goal from Charlie Munro. Into the bottom corner. And FC United now.
Home and hosed.
Sailing towards the sunset in this game. 4-1. 94th minute. Charlie Munro there with the pick of the goals, I think. Here's Bennett now. Bennett. Bennett towards the penalty area. Bennett goes for goal, charged down, but Gilboy's following up here. Gilboy's going to have a go at goal. It breaks, and there is Bennett, and what a save. What a save from Engelu. Well, he's had a great night, hasn't he? He really has. That was a fantastic save from the Vince Guy goalkeeper. Out to the right-hand side to Gilboy. Gilboy towards the byline. Got loads of time. Gilboy plays it in, and there's Bob Germain. Well, Jordan Buckley might not like that, but Bob Jermaine was entitled to go for it. And that is full-time, and FC United have won this game by 4-1. A very lively game, to say the least, Paul. Vince Guy actually 1-0 up at half-time. Proper European away performance from them in the opening 45 minutes, soaking up the pressure, having FC United just bombarding the penalty area. Engelu's had a great game in the Vince Guy goal.
16 saves,
man of the match by a country mile. 1-0 up though, they got a counter-attacking goal against the runner play, a brilliant goal it was as well before half time. But FC United have controlled the second half. It's been a feisty game, both teams going down to 10 men after Woodcock got an equaliser. Luke Griffiths has had a penalty saved, but towards the end of this game, FC United's fitness has told, its quality has told. And it's a 4-1 win.
Yeah, I think FC have had to work very hard in that second half to win this game. But I think ultimately, the fitness told at the end. I think that FC kept driving on. The substitutes made a difference. They kept the momentum going. And fair play to the visitors. They gave it a good shot, but couldn't quite sustain it for the whole 90 minutes.
Charlie Oliver with two goals tonight. His performance from Oliver.
His first goals for FC, I think.
Good goals as well, weren't they? Yeah. Good headers. Yeah. They were. The pick of the goals, though, obviously, I think, was Charlie Munro. Wow. Yeah. That was a great goal. And FC United, 4-1 winners. Two wins from two now in Group C. We've obviously got Krakow visiting us next month. A win there, you'd think, would probably be enough to secure a finals day spot, but we wait and see.
A testing trip to Paris, perhaps.
Yes, that's going to be an interesting one, because there has been, if we're going to talk about the talking points of tonight's game, there has been a bit of bite to it, Paul, which we've not seen in this competition.
And it might reappear.
We've seen it away at a couple of games, but we've not seen it here. This Vince guy have really wanted this.
They've come with a lot of pride.
Yes. And
they've left with a fair bit of pride as well, because obviously they're two levels below FC. They weren't expected to get anything tonight, but they've provided a stern test, and that's what the Phoenix is about, I think.
Well, just to confirm, we're giving the man of the match to Arni Salla Engelu, their goalkeeper, who saved a penalty as well. And you could argue, was it a miss from Griffiths? No, I think it was a good save. So we'll get James Quinn's thoughts in a second or two as well.
My interesting thought is the Palinkas incident.
Yes.
And was it mistaken identity?
What was your view on the sending off incident and what went on there?
I really...
Hello, James, by the way. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Ben. Good evening, everyone. No, I didn't see what happened. It was a big scrap, and people really got stuck in, and you can only assume that the assistant saw something, an arm raised or something. But it seemed, you know, in the context of the... rather than send two players off in the Phoenix Trophy, a yellow card and a sharp word, I think, would have been more in fitting. But I honestly don't know what the assistant saw.
Do you think tonight was... the referee had a tough game, because it is meant to be a friendly competition in a way. Obviously, there's a decent finals day at the end of it, so you want to get there. So there is a competitive nature to it. But
no, they competed well.
I think the referee had no option tonight. There was challenges going in left, right, and centre.
Oh, that started early on. Yeah, there was that. They came with real intent, and I thought problem in the end is they obviously not so adept at defending set pieces. The keeper wasn't coming for the ball. There were really good deliveries, but I think the keeper who was superb in shot stopping, and some brave shot stops as well, but it could have come for some of those. But and I thought 4-1 is, you know, it must be a bit galling for them, having competed for so long, got to 1-1, saved a penalty, and then FC kind of run away with it.
FC live there from Tuesday evening. Well, next up for the Reds was Saturday's fixture back in the league, as FC United hosted second place Warrington Rylands at Broadhurst Park. And ahead of the match, Ben spoke with FC United manager Neil Reynolds.
Well, hello Neil, welcome to Broadhurst Park. First things first, big happy birthday to you, many happy returns.
And, thank you.
And what a day to spend your birthday week than here at Broadhurst Park with a beautiful pitch.
Yeah.
Against the team currently sitting second, never lost an away game this season in the league.
Is that right? Well, okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And listen, just thanks to everyone I'm obviously not on social media, but our chat was showing the messages that have gone out from FC, and really nice responses. So thank you to everyone. Hopefully, you know, I've said to the lads yesterday when they were wishing me happy birthday to me. It's only good if we get 3 points. But listen, Ben, there's a buzz around the camp. There is, and I don't want to kind of preempt something that might not happen. Like you said, Rylands are second in the league. They haven't lost an away game all season. They're flying high. They've got a great side. But there's a buzz about us. There's a buzz about us, and we've had a really good week with the win in Europe, and then training, and then, you know, we go again today.
And speaking of which, how was training on Thursday? Because particularly the closing stages of the Vince Guy game on Tuesday. Should really have a bit of a bounce to us.
Immense. And, you know, I talk about the competition. The competition's great. And it showed again on Tuesday night that you don't get any rollovers. And, you know, that was a really physical game. And some of the lads were, you know, took a few knocks. But it's what they want to play in. And when we've won a game and there's been good goals, they come into training on Thursday night. And you wouldn't believe, honestly, Ben, you wouldn't believe this team are 15th, 16th in the league. The camaraderie is great with them. the quality in the dressing room is now coming back. I know Charlie Ennis and Donners are out, and Jay Fitz and Dante and Curtis, but there's good signs because Curtis is nearly back. He trained fully on Thursday. Dante's maybe 2 weeks away. Charlie Ennis isn't as bad as what we first thought. We're then bringing Keelan to Wales this week. We've brought in Joel Ferguson. So, you know, it's good, you know, and obviously George is still new to the group. So, listen, Ben, there's a good bounce around them, and I've got a good feeling.
And just to mention for Ferguson, brand new signing, fullback. Mm. The assumption is a right back. Mm. So, I mean, what's your thinking there? Is it too obvious?
No, Dexton, brilliant, hasn't
he? But he's not a fullback.
He's not a fullback, yeah. And Charlie Over's a fullback, but because of what happened to Yannick Curtis Jones this season, we haven't been able to get him a right back. But then he's developed into a good centre half for playing three, so we needed strength in that position. And I've known Joel for a couple of years. I used to watch him at Blackburn Rovers, and really good talent. And then he came out and went to Marine, and Marine kind of offered him what they offered him. And it was only December he got Player of the Month for Marine, and he's just lost his way a little bit. He lives in Oldham. So we put 7 days in, and we've got the deal done. So delighted. And it allows Deck now to move back into his preferred position of midfield.
Now, just to mention for the fullbacks and the wingers, depending on the half that they're going to be playing, we got here today. I mean, the grounds has been here, I think, since 7, I believe. And it's a challenging pitch for him this afternoon and today, it looks like, given the weather conditions.
I mean, firstly, I'll say well done to Andy. You know, he's done great to get this game on. Probably needs a little bit more support. His two lads are here today, and you know, I don't think there's been lots of support coming forward, so he's been on it since 7 o'clock this morning. But listen, he could be on that all week. The pitch, he's desperately needs some work doing to it. And where we cut corners last year, you know, and we said we didn't need this work doing and that work doing, and I don't want to say I told you so when they played the academy game on here in October, but there's too many games of football players on this pitch with the actual spend. So this pitch could play 50 games a season if we spent the right amount of money, if we got the drains done. And I know money's tight, Ben, but unless we do, this pitch is a write-off now. And the way we want to play football, you know, this used to be our unique selling point, and at the minute it's not. It's not in a good position.
Yeah, just to give the listeners, if you've not been on social media, basically on the main stand side on the halfway line, it's mud. In the penalty areas at either end, well, the six-yard box in particular, it's mud. And obviously we know about the corner of the main stand and the right-bound road. It's always been like that. How do you adapt to a pitch like this, given the fact that during the game we the prediction is it's going to chuck it down?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to adapt. There's no, you can't say, oh, the pitch wasn't good. The pitch isn't good for both sides, and we've got to adapt, you know, and there's going to be mistakes today, like you can see, but it's flat, you know, and the way we want to play, we'll play. But you've got to credit the grounds for getting the game on. You'll have a look at Bamber Bridge Atherton. That's off today, so a load of work's gone on. We know the problems behind the scenes. We know that's going to cost money. We know that we've got to raise that money. Otherwise, we're going to continue to lose games, which then we lose money, and we could not afford to lose this game today. So it was critical the game's on. We're not going to talk about it as a squad. We're not going to give them any excuses. We've got a game plan. We worked on it Thursday night. And you know what? Against a really good Ryland side, made the best team win. But like I said at the start of the interview, Ben, I've got a good feeling that these lads will give everything today. Win, lose, or draw, they'll give absolutely everything. And that's testament to the group.
And just before you go, Neil, just a little heads up for the team selection today, if you can.
Yeah, so George will start as one. We're going to carry on with our back three. So it'll be Lafferty, it'll be Charlie Oliver and Jan Palinkas.
How's Palinkas doing with his... now he's finally got a card at FC United.
he's listen, we're overplaying Jan at the minute. You know, he didn't train Thursday. He's coming back from 4 months out. But at the minute, he wants to play through it. Curtis Jones comes back, he might be able to start resting, rotating. But he's a colossal. He's so good for this football club. And then the three of them, then you've got Guy Hall, who played left wing-back, and then Joel make his debut at right wing-back. Again, we did loads of work on it in training on Thursday. Griffiths will be the pivot or anchor man in there, making 150th appearance, and will captain the side. And why is he captain the side? Because of that. I think it's a massive accolade to represent his football club. And, you know, he's kind of our adopted scouser. He's, you know, and Luke Griffiths has not had it all his own way, Ben, this season. He's been sat on the bench 6 times, but he's now coming back to form and showing the player that he can be. And I'm hoping if he plays like the way he does, he's got another 150 appearances in him. He'll play with Munro, who again, he's had a little bit of a dip, but he's come back last couple of games and he's firing, and the two of them are going to be good. And then McLaughlin goes in there as a third midfielder, so he gives us that kind of energy, that passing range. He'll be able to go and join in. And then down the middle, we've gone with B&B, Buckley and Bennett. We think Bennett will get all of the ball. Buckley will stretch it in behind and allow Munro and McLaughlin to get close to him. So what we are today, Ben, we're a big side. Mm. We've got a lot of 6-footers in the side, so, you know, we'll be we'll be organised in both boxes, and hopefully we can go and get the win.
And just a word to the wise, silly schoolboy error with them trainers today. The technical area is there for a reason. Yeah. Don't stray. I like the initiative we've got, to the respect campaign, to make sure we stay in the technical areas.
I might call commentary. You'll be in a bit.
But best of luck this afternoon, no, Neil, and thanks for joining us.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to me about 15 minutes or so ago. This is SD Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. FC United taking on Warrington Rylands. So we're going to be joined now for a little pre-match chat by James Quinn. Thanks for joining me, James, and rescuing me.
Good afternoon, everyone. You never need rescuing.
I did at that point. What's your thoughts on this pitch today, James? Because obviously it took a little bit of a battering on Tuesday night in the Phoenix Trophy, and it's rained ever since, and well, here we are.
Well, put it this way, listener, for the teams attacking down the left to our left, from right to left, that's towards the light-bound road end, probably won't be the left flank, will not be the area for creative play. It really is like a ploughed field, some of it, and that's not much of an exaggeration.
No, it's not.
Greener at the SMRE end, even on the left, it is a lot greener. But as you get, the further you get towards the halfway line and beyond, and then in the corner, in the left corner at the light-bound road end, it really is muddy. Yeah. And they've got both goal mouths also, a degree of mud there, but the referees passed it fit, and it was the same for both teams. Another tough examination for FC.
Yeah, taking on Warrington Rylands, and I'm... obviously no stat up because he's doing the stat app, but from memory, Warrington Rylands have not lost an away game in the league this season. They've drawn a lot of games away from home, but they're not second in the league for no reason. They're in a playoff race with the likes of Marine, Hyde United, Worksop Town, Macclesfield and Geisler, and you never know, there's still time to try and catch Radcliffe as well, but Warrington Rylands very much in the playoff hunt this season. This is going to be a tough test. We were close to them though in the reverse fixture early in the season. From memory, that only finished 1-0 to Warrington Rylands, and we did have opportunities to win that game. But I think the last time they played here, and again, I need Stato Paul, but I'm pretty sure Warrington Rylands beat us 4-0, and I think that might have been a cup game if memory serves.
And the thing is though, FC's performance against league leaders, almost runaway leaders, Radcliffe 10 days or so ago, was very accomplished. Radcliffe nicking it at the end after gradually wearing FC down in the second half, but that was a good performance. FC were very competitive and FC had their own chances to score against Radcliffe, so there will be a degree of optimism.
And there will be a degree of optimism as well after Tuesday night's game, because Tuesday night's game was, I thought, very good. It was a good game of football, and Vince Guy proved to be competitive opponents, and as Neil mentioned there, there's training on Thursday was good after that game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think it would have been a good game for bonding the team, because of course Vin Skye did well. They had a very crude plan, really, was to defend very deep. Their shape was very good, and then hit FC on the break, and they did exactly that just before half time and led, and then it was 1-1 till really close to the end, and FC scored three times late on to really turn the screw. And in a way, in terms of the 90 minutes, that probably fair, it was a little unfair.
I thought it was fair based on the first half performance.
But I was thinking from a Vince Guy point of view, when you're holding a side for that amount of time, just for it to lose 4-1, it looks a lot less competitive than it actually was.
But just to say, if you've not seen the goal back, head over to the Phoenix Trophy YouTube channel, scroll towards the end of the match. I mean, it was such a brilliant goal for Munro. What a great finish, really. I mean, to be fair, their first goal was pretty special as well. Yeah, some good goals in the Phoenix Trophy over the years, and we had two good goals on Tuesday night. But this is SC Live. Might as well hand over to you, James.
Okay.
Yeah, this is SC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. FC United taking on Warrington Rylands this afternoon in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, and it's now time to hand over to your expert commentary team of Stato Paul. But first, a big welcome back to James Quinn.
Looks like a back three for both sides here. Played through there to Furman, and Furman clears, but met by Lafferty, well met, and Munro keeping his place in midfield. Forward now to Bennett, lovely through ball, Buckley, is he onside? He is, he shoots,
and it's a good save, but Buckley will be frustrated. He was one-on-one with the keeper. He gets another chance. He slides, and Ferguson with a chance. Almost to score with his first touch there. Saved again. Ball out wide now. Lively start from FC. Rockband's throw. Furman. The ball bobbles around. Bennett gets a foot to it. Inside to Buckley. Return ball for Bennett. Towards the byline now. Right-hand side is Bennett. Buckley tries to get in there. Can't get a foot on it. And, well... And here comes Touré up the other end. Tries to slide a through ball and it's intercepted. Touré has it back. Touré holds it up just outside the box, left-hand side. And the low cross coming in. And it's parried away there by Murray Jones. And Dean Furman and Joe Adams are both stood over there. It's Adams left-footed. It's a nice-looking ball in. And it was almost an own goal. It was a superb reaction there from George Murray Jones. It was a floating in ball. It was nodded, I think, by Munro. And it was going to the keeper's left. He had to dive full stretch and tip it wide for a corner. FC play a bit of ducks and drakes inside their own penalty area. Lose possession. Touré through ball now. Pedro! Saved by Murray Jones. And Lafferty was there, but FC playing a lot of short passes and almost getting into trouble there. Three being even. Plays it forward up and under. Pedro nicely over his man. Right-footed shot near post. Decent save from Murray Jones. Save he'd expect to make. But Pedro rather neatly played it over the head of the defender there. Took it on the half volley. It was on target. But Murray Jones covering his near post well. Palinka's bringing it forward. Down the left flank it goes. Now Guy Hall, through the lovely ball there, Bennett. Bennett out to the right flank, now Ferguson into the box. He can shoot from here. A shot for handball, nothing doing. Now McLaughlin, it's back heel, it's saved. Closest either side have come there. Really smart back heel. But keeper got in the way. Meanwhile, O'Coquelaine plays it nicely, and now a chance for Motori. Great, important tackle from Oliver. And now it's cleared as loose water starts to spray up as people play the ball. Oliver, though, can't get on that. Touré now. Touré into the box. And the ball is sticking now in the ground. That's quite clearly now.
It's a bad sign.
And it was offside.
10 more minutes of this rain.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's sticking in the grassy part of the area, what's it going to do in the mud? Ferguson finds Bennett. Bennett now down the line there. Neil chases back. Woodcock pursues him. And Gilboy doing the right thing. Oh, Pilling does well with his feet there under a bit of pressure. And that ball is intercepted by good challenge, good heavy challenge from Oliver Player down. And now the ball out to the left flank now. Guy Hall driving in from the left flank. Guy Hall still has it, being driven out wide by two Rylands players. Hall right to the corner flag now. Holds on to it. Can he get a right-footed cross? And he plays it back instead. Number seven, Bennett, thinks about a shot. It's a decent save from Pilling. It really is. It was a fine shot from Bennett now. Oliver, can he get a cross in? Plays it out to Ferguson. Ferguson keeps it in. Ferguson now. Back it goes. Munro overhits the ball, but it will stay in, actually. Normally, it would have been overhit. Oliver, can he win a corner? He plays it infield. And now the ball will be cleared. Motore under pressure. Muscled out of it. Bennett, just outside the area, tries to thread it through for Woodcock. Won't go.
It's Russian roulette now every time somebody gets the ball.
Can't take your eyes off it. Lafferty down the flanks. Brockbank heads it infield. Ball played forward. Motore on the halfway line. Great ball from him. But again, it sticks in the mud. Substitute Yonshan, Motore, edge of the box now, Pedro. Pedro plays it back. Bailey now looking for the cross. In it comes. Well met by Munro. That ball will go out of play for a throw into Ryland. You cannot take your eyes off. It's 0-0.
Just to go back to that back pass on Pilling, the ball was rolling. He's about to clear it and it sticks in the water.
The referee has just taken the ball off the players.
And Pilling wants a towel.
And I think we're going back to that back pass, aren't we? And the referee will want to know if that penalty area is okay.
He's talking to the keeper about whether Luke Pilling thinks it's playable in there.
I think at 0-0 the players will want to carry
on. Testing the ground. It does bounce. Well, this is fair enough from the referee. He's thinking about safety as well. And he's seeing how far it rolls.
He's picked the wrong penalty area, I think. The other one's much worse.
But now he's going to bounce it in the mud.
Is he going to take a penalty?
It's just not bouncing. And Mr. McDonald,
I think he's already decided he's going to stop this game.
He's taking a moment
here.
He's
just looking for a reason to prove it.
He's discussing it with his assistant. Aaron Bennett, I think, as if to say, look, let's carry on. I'm doing all right.
Cleggy and Neil are down here having a little chat.
Well, both sets of players at 0-0 will want to carry on because there's a win to be had. But I think the referee's already in his mind decided to finish it. He's just looking for evidence now.
It's not a democracy, is it? But it's funny because he's holding the ball. He's stepping back.
He's having a chat with both captains
both
now.
Both captains now. That means those going back early, we might hit the rush hour traffic round a certain football ground nearby.
He's waving players away now. I think he's already decided.
Rich McDonald blows his whistle. Well, he's getting booed. You're a level-headed man, Paul Hinson. What's your verdict? Is that the right decision?
Personally, I don't think we should have started this game. That's my opinion. Given the state of the pitch before the game, I don't think it was playable. Not for 90 minutes and rain forecast.
That was always the day. I mean, we said that to Neil in the pre-match interview. Rain was predicted to come at some point. There is puddles on the pitch and it's muddy everywhere.
The ball
now
was holding up, wasn't it?
Yeah, the back pass for Pilling was the key there, I think, which might have triggered an idea in the referee's brain that maybe this match is too long for this.
Imagine if FC had scored from that and then it had been carried on. Then you really would have got...
But in the build-up to this game, I mentioned that conditions might get like Lancaster City at Gig Lane, where Rob Nugent tried that back pass and it held up in the water. And, well, that almost happened there for Warrington Rowlands. But
I remember a cup tie where FC beat a side higher up in the pyramid.
Geisler.
And it was Griffiths who played a pass back. FC won, I think, ultimately.
It was during the COVID season.
And it just stood in the water and Geisley scored.
Well, that was a referee who knew the full-time whistle was approaching. Because if that was half-time, he would have called the game off in that match against Geisler. But here, how long's left, Paul? We've got half an hour or so, haven't we?
Yeah, about 29 minutes. But, you know, I can't blame him stopping the game right now, to be honest. I just question the initial decision. I know both managers would have wanted to start the game. I think the referee was trying to give it every chance, but I just think that ultimately it was just too much of a risk, given the weather conditions coming.
20 minutes of the second half were played. When that was called
obviously,
off.
He's going to get booed over this, but I think he's done the right thing. Eventually, he's done the right thing.
I mean, to be fair to the referee, fair play for putting the match on in the first place, because when we got here, Paul, what did I say? Ye of little faith, I never set up till 2:30. I never got the radio gear out the bag because I thought this ain't going to be on. But
if you're going home towards the south of the city, or go via the city centre rather than, or even go round the motorway the other way, for those, the handful of people that are in the stadium.
But obviously this game's off now.
Should we get the verdict? Would Steve Woods have cancelled that game? I'm going to hand over the headset.
I think you would have, wouldn't you? Oh, well, welcome, Woodso. Hello. You weren't going to appear on the podcast this week, but here you are.
Hey, hello.
It's no surprise, is it?
Referee can't win. Can't win either way, whatever you do. Because the thing is, if a player gets injured and breaks a leg, whatever,
because we've seen
trouble.
We've seen a couple of players go off injured.
Players go off injured, already. I guarantee you the first team who concede will be in the referee's ear all the games that we play. Can't win this situation. Could you give it another 5 minutes? Possibly. It ain't going to stop.
No, it's not stopping. No.
So, and we've got the rest of the season to think about as well.
Well, that was going to be my next point.
We'd like to get some games on.
Paul, you could chip in if you want at this point. I mean, this pitch, what do we do? I mean, it used to be Wembley looked like this after the brass band had been on. I mean, this is...
the autumn's on already.
Yeah.
Well, strictly looking at the men's fixtures... Obviously, we're away at Morpeth next week.
We've got a couple of weeks off now, haven't we? Until
if the weather's kind, the groundsman might be able to get some repair on it.
Because that was the problem he's had this week. He's not been able to get on it because of the rain. So he needs a spell of
dry weather. But even if he has that dry weather, what's he going to do?
Couple
rollers and some green spray paint.
I was you keep doing that. You've done it again. I was going to say, all he needs is a couple of pots of green paint. We'll paint it. It's like new again. Ish. Anyway, I'm going now. Paul's back. His headset back on.
All right. Thanks.
I'll put this back on JQ.
Thank you for joining me, Woods, for that little spell there. But we're waiting to see. We'll probably hear from Neil in a second or two, but we had half an hour left to play. FC had come back into it, football-related wise, haven't they? They started to pose a couple of questions to Rylands.
I think the second half, the 15 minutes we got into the second half, was a bit of a mismatch of substitutions, injuries, the pitch deteriorating. It was a mess, really. But we did have a great chance to score. Two great chances, perhaps. There was the back heel.
Yeah,
McGoughan
with the pass-come shot, wasn't it? And he had Gilboy there, a cheeky back heel, which almost caught Pilling out. And then there was the Bennett chance, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, we were threatening at that point. But I think the danger is, if the referee had played 90 minutes...
It's like Woodsall said about injuries.
It's not only the injuries, but we would have had a farcical goal somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
And everybody would have said, you made the wrong call. You made the game a farce. Because you can see what was coming. Somebody was going to fall over in the box and it's going to be a tap-in. Or a back pass or something silly.
It was there. That's what triggered it.
It was
the back
coming,
pass,
wasn't it?
Because there's no. I mean, the ball was out of play, wasn't it, for throwing over by the Lightbound Road end. And the referee takes it all the way to the St Mary's Road end penalty area. And that's because, moments earlier, that back pass to Pilling, he went to kick it and the ball just stuck. He was letting the ball roll across his body because obviously he's a right footer to get the ball clear.
Yeah.
And it never made his right foot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Neil's with us.
First of all, referee, no choice in the end.
No, I didn't realise how bad it was until I come up here, James. It's it's not in a good state.
No, but looking at the performance, I thought Aaron Bennett showed a really experienced, intelligent way to handle the conditions. He seemed to just find an extra moment to make the right decision.
No, he's right. He's a very good player, and he's getting fit. You know, he knows he's got to get a lot fitter, and that's why we went with Bennett up top today. We thought we might bring his cleverness into play instead of like stretching it in behind, but then obviously when we got the injury to Jordan, we had to change it slightly. But no, listen, James, on the whole, delighted with the play. We've got to be, not should be, we've got to be 2-0 up after the first 5 minutes. Then they get a foothold. George is brilliant. George makes two unbelievable saves, and then I don't know, just before he called the game off, we were on the front foot, and it was one of them nights or days at Broadhurst Park. I thought we're going to score and win, but not to be.
Yeah, Ferguson looks particularly early on. Of course, he had a clear chance himself early on, but he looks like a particularly good attacking fullback. Would you play that formation with the three at the back?
Yeah, he's a very good player. So I knew him when he was at Blackburn Rovers. We wanted to bring him in. And I noticed he got player of the month in December, said to Ben before, and you know, all of a sudden then he lost his shirt for a couple of games, and then it just so happened we found out he lived in Oldham. He wants to play football. He didn't want to travel to Marine. We spoke to the manager, and he fits the style of player that we want here, and it allows McLaughlin then to go back into midfield. So Joe's a good signing for us.
And George Murray Jones, obviously he's a very good keeper. What's he like as a personality on the pitch? Is he obviously a young lad? Is he quite happy to make his presence felt? His voice felt?
He's a quiet lad.
Is he?
Yeah, very reserved. But he lets his performances do the talking, and it's quite daunting for him. He's moved from Southend. He's now at Manchester City. I mean, Thursday's training with the first team. Then he's coming to us Thursday night, and his feet's on the ground, but he's a great keeper. His saves today were exceptional, but there was one thing he did in the first half that we'll be crying out for all season. He plucked a cross out. They say take it at its highest point, and his hand stuck, and he got it. And the reassurance that gives on your defenders is huge, and he's got a real opportunity in the game. He's going to go forward, but he really enjoys being here, you know, and that's, he's learning his way, and he's going to learn it here.
Big chances early on. Did you feel that there was a period in the first half when Rylands did adapt to the conditions a little better?
Yeah, 20 minutes. They will, although they shook from distance and it was two good saves, I thought we had the first 20. I thought they then took control of the second 20, and they did. And you can see why they're up towards the top of the league. What they did, we knew exactly what they do. That's how they play. They dropped into like a 4-1-4-1, and they made everything compact, so they stopped us from changing play, and they did it really well.
But in general terms, as with Ratcliffe, that very narrow defeat, competing fairly comfortably with a side right at the top of the league.
We can do it, James. I've got every faith that when we've got lads fit and available and playing the way they're playing now, and you can see the kind of the three or four that are coming back from injury, Curtis and Dante and Donald Ennis, you know, people. We've got a really good squad. And you look back on the games that we've massively underperformed this season, it's when we haven't been able to get our fluent 16 out. I look at the bench today, it's as strong as we're going to have with four lads to come back. So the squad is good. When we can get everyone out, when Jan Pelinkas is out and Oliver and people like that and Mumrose, I mean, we've lost Griffiths today to an injury. We've lost Buckley to an injury, but the squad's good, and that's what we want to develop and build on. And you do need luck in a season, and I feel like we've had a fair share of bad luck this season with injuries, but we just want to finish the season as strong as we can do. And we've shown now in the last four games, Gainsborough, Radcliffe, the Vinsky game, today, we're a good side, and we've got to keep that belief.
Any assessment on the injuries yet in terms of whether they're quite bad ones that could keep them out for a while?
Jordan looks like it is. He might have gone. His calf. Griff was just tight. Every time he opened up, it was tight. Now, maybe a lot of football and heavy pitches, but usually with Griff's type of injury, it's a grade one, it's 7 to 10 days. Buckley could be up to 3 or 4 weeks. So, but we've got forwards. You know, I'm not panicking anymore. I'm not thinking that we need a forward. I've got Young Max, I've got Bennett, I've got Gilboy as well. So we've got loads of options, and people are just going to get their opportunities.
What about when you don't have Jordan? He's a big lad and he holds the ball. How, it does affect though the way you're going to attack, doesn't it? If you haven't got him, even though they've all got pace, they're much more pacey, smaller frames.
I think what would do there without giving anything away, I think Bennett would then go as a nine because he looks after the ball and then let a runner offer him. Today, we just tried to go into the two, Bennett and Buckley, because we knew it'd stick, and then get the likes of Munro and Deck high to him. And then as the game developed, because we knew that they were aging at the centre-half, can we throw on our pace? So it will change it slightly, but I'm a lot more comfortable with losing a player now than what I was maybe 2 or 3 months ago. For us, James, we just want to finish as strong as we can. And, you know, if I put a figure on it, you know, 13 games to go, 14 games to go, if I said that I wanted 7 or 8 wins, people will go, well, that's optimistic. But I just think with the lads coming back, there's no reason why we can't. I'm not saying we will, but there's no reason what stops us from getting 7 or 8 wins and a couple of points.
You would hope that team would take confidence from how well they've competed against the top two sides.
It's a massive shift in confidence in the dressing room, massive. And, you know, like I just said, when we lost our really influential player this season, you look around them and we didn't have the depth, we didn't have that kind of backing. Now we've got real depth in the squad, and we've added, like I say, Swales and Joe Ferguson to it this week. So we're not building for next season, but we want to finish strong and people to go, right, we want to get in the playoffs next season. We want to be competing. We don't want to be down where we are. But I think before we do anything on the pitch, I think there's going to be a lot of work done off the pitch, looking at the pitch.
Long trip to Morpeth next Saturday. Optimistic that one?
Well,
4G surface.
We've got a really good result there this season. And then obviously we know what happened in the return leg when they came here. But we like playing on three. Well, I'm saying we like playing on three. I don't think we've won on one for the last 3 or 4 games. But we do. You know, we know the game will be on. We know we can prepare well. And we'll just see what the injuries are like. We'll assess everybody. And then we'll get on the coach and we'll be in there in buoyant spirits. You know, someone whispered to me that they were losing 4-1 maybe today. So they're not having it all their own way. But we've just got to just not worry about anybody else now. Just be us. Get on the coach next week. Go and try and get 3 points and have a good journey back. But we're going to work hard this week, James, in training. We're devastated about today. But, you know, credit to everyone for trying to get the game on.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there. And as discussed, next up for the Reds will be an away trip up to Morpeth Town on Saturday. Kick-off in the northeast this weekend will be at 3 p.m. But for those of you unable to make the game in person, we'll of course have full live commentary on fc-radio.co.uk from 2:30 p.m. Well, that's nearly it for this week's show, but just before we go, just a reminder that the women's team will be hosting Chorley on Thursday evening at Broadhurst Park. This crucial match in the league kicks off at 7:45 p.m. And we will, of course, have full live coverage on FC Radio as well for those of you unable to attend. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.